Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14, 23. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Also, if you will, open your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. You can see how all this fits together as we move along in our study today. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we are the recipients of your matchless grace, saved by your grace, kept by your grace, blessed by your grace every single day. And we pause to express today our thanks for the fact that you have blessed us in so many magnificent ways and continue to bless us every day. That's the reason why we have the opportunity right now to be here. And we pray that in these moments we're studying today, that we'll have an open mind and open heart to these magnificent truths. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, please look at Genesis chapter 2. We'll begin our reading with verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. And then we'll read on down, look at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, one tree, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Now picking up with verse 18, you have an emphasis upon the Lord God forming man, saying that it was not good for him to be alone. He formed for him a companion. Skip down to verse 22. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Then verse 24. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, I'm going to put on the screen, first of all, some things for you to see in relationship to our verses of Scripture, which we've just read, and then also referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. On the screen, you see an emphasis upon the word typology. Genesis 2, 22 to 24 is a presentation of what we believe is a typology. It is revealed also to us in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, which says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. When we look at this, we are able to see, first of all, we must know that God uses stories of people. He uses stories of places and things that have spiritual meanings attached to reveal hidden things. God gives us clues, sometimes types, sometimes shadows. This we have as an emphasis upon typology. In Genesis 2, 22 to 24, we have the account of the creation of woman, the law of marriage, and the first human family on the earth. I ask a question this morning, and that is, why is this important? And the answer to that is, because the first Adam is revealed, and that there is a connection to another atom called the second atom. You're able to see immediately why we have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Let me repeat. Because the first atom is revealed, and that there is a connection to another atom called the second atom. The Apostle Paul throws light on that subject, as we have already emphasized, in 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And I've written myself a little note, and that is to exegete this verse of Scripture. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go back with me, and let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. I'm putting this on the screen for you to be able to see, and we'll do this very briefly. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 says, "And so also it has been written." This is a reference to the Old Testament Genesis passage, which I read just a few moments ago. The first man was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, you will notice that I've emphasized the fact that I need to exegete this passage of Scripture for you rapidly. What we have, first of all, is a perfect tense verb. And I wanted to see this just very briefly with you and let you see that we have here a perfect passive indicative verb, third person singular, of grapho. Grapho is a word we're all familiar with, graphics, writings, and so forth. So we have a perfect tense verb. And you can see, which is so beautiful, when you're looking at a Greek word, if you see a perfect tense verb, you will discover that the first part of the verb is a repetition. And so we can see it here. There's a GE and then there's a GR. Now, it's not necessary for me to go into details with you on that, other than to tell you that you can look at this word and immediately see, if you understand the Greek language, that this is a perfect tense verb. A perfect tense verb emphasizes something that has been written in the past, consummated in the past, with the result that that particular conclusion continues to this very present moment. That's the meaning of a perfect tense verb. It has been written. It's been written in the past, concluded in the past. The conclusion continues to this very present moment. Follow me? Okay. And so also it has been written. And that refers back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and those verses which we've read already. And then it says, and let me go on with this, it is a passive voice, which says the subject receives the action. I won't get into all the details here. And then the I stands for the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. It has been written. It is understood that what has been written has been consummated, and you can put it down. It is what it is. Now, so much for that. I got excited about that just for a few seconds for you, but I'm going to get over it. Okay. And so it has been written. Now, let's go on to see what the verse says. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. Stay with me and let's look at that for a few moments. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. When first Adam was made a living soul, what the first Adam had was trichotomy. Are you with me? The first man, Adam, and it says it right here. The first man was made a living, alive soul. Now, we could go into all the particular words of the Greek, but let's just not do that. Adam, and then he became, and there's the word genomai, to become. And notice, if you will, please, this is at a point of time, the aorist tense. Middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. So what God did for Adam, Adam was benefited, and we're benefited, and we'll see that. He was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening, and that's an interesting thing, because we have the word for life, life-giving, and that's the Greek word for zoe, the life-giving. So it says the last Adam was made a quickening, a life-giving spirit. Now, most of you are aware of the fact that you have been born into God's kingdom. As a result of having been born into God's kingdom, you are spiritually alive. You have been moved from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. You have the ability now, because you are a believer, to understand, comprehend, categorize those things in the realm of the spiritual. I've said that 1,000 times, I need to say it over and over again. What is it that makes it possible for you and me to appreciate and to enjoy spiritual things? It's the fact that we've been born again. That's what makes it possible, because we've been moved from dichotomy to trichotomy. We've been moved from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. So how did old Adam come on the scene? We discover that he had a body. Now, I want you to know that Patrick is working on this, and he's coming up with some good ideas, and I'm encouraging him to hurry up and get it done so that we can show it to you. But he's slow. He's dragging his feet. He's got a lot of other things to do. But anyway, he looked at this, and he said, you know, we need to add some things to it. And I said, that's good. Do it. And so he's in the process of doing it. So what happened was we discovered that the first Adam had body and soul and spirit. Now, I have this done in different ways, but at home I have some more ways to show you. But this, it will let you see just a quick overview. The first Adam had body, soul, and spirit. So there's trichotomy. Now, what happened was, and we're going to say something to you to let you realize something had taken place. Adam and Eve disobeyed. When they disobeyed, there was something about them died. It was not their body that died at first. It was not their soul that died. You know what died, don't you? It was a spirit that died. Don't you like the way I'm doing this? I'm telling you, you're able to see it if you're just paying real close attention. In fact, you don't have to pay real close attention. You can still get it if you just listen and look at these diagrams, body, soul, spirit. Now, that means that Adam is what? Dichotomous. He was trichotomous before, but now when he and Eve disobeyed, something about them died. It was not their body that died first. It was not their soul that died. The soul lives on forever and ever. It was their spirit that died. God provided for them, as you remember what they did. They tried to cover up their nakedness by fig leaves. That didn't work. You remember what God did? An animal was slain. A complete cloak covering in the Hebrew language was made. And so they had a covering. So that simply means that they moved from dichotomy back to trichotomy. But there's something here that you have to see, and that is that they still had an old sinful nature. Now, when we first started dealing with this, Joyce was helping me. We were putting these diagrams together, and we came to the conclusion that when the old sin nature came on the scene in the individual Adam and Eve, we discover that that shows that something was affected by it. And it, this particular diagram only shows that the spirit was affected by the old sin nature. But that's not the case. So what we did, and John worked on this, and we got this transparency. And I want you to see something. Can y'all see this? That's a mess, isn't it? In other words, that lets us know that the old sin nature affects all facets in relationship to the body, soul, and spirit. You folks listen very well. That's just a diagram. I want you to see now what this passage says. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, let's see if I can look at this very briefly again. I want to go back and let you see where we've been. We must know that God uses stories of people, places, and things that have spiritual meanings attached to reveal hidden things. This is why this particular study is so fantastic for me. And that is, after all these 60-some-odd years of preaching, I'm getting into things now that I have not touched over these years. And it's wonderful for me because it becomes challenging to me to find Jesus in every book of the Old Testament, the 39 books, so that I can give it to you. Can you see how fantastic? So I said at the beginning this morning, you pray and then you stay close by. Did you notice that I said pray and stay close by? I want you to understand that I said in the first session today, pray and stay close by. What do I mean by that? I mean that we have 24 sessions ahead of us, and I'm asking you to be faithful and stay close by. If you can't be here, you get on the internet, get it, and you listen to it every single time. Genesis 2:22, 1 Corinthians 15:45, Genesis 2:22-24, we have the account of creation of woman, the law of marriage, and the first human family on the earth. Why is this important? Because the first Adam, because the first Adam is revealed, and that there is a connection to another Adam called the second Adam. Paul throws us light on this subject in our scripture, which we've just exegeted part of it, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Now let's take a few notes. One, God created Adam's wife, took her from his body. Now this is not anything you don't know. God created Adam's wife and took her from his body. Number two, as a result of what God did, Adam said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In other words, Eve was called the body of Adam. Let's look at that and analyze what is being said. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. In other words, Eve was called the body of Adam. Now, you asked me to explain to you how all this took place. I promise you, I cannot explain it. I just know God did it, and it's wonderful. Now, I've heard this, and I've read this, and I've preached this, that God didn't take Eve from the head so that she could be the head of the woman. You've heard all this. Neither did Jesus. Did God take Eve from the foot so she could be stomped on by the man? You know, we've all heard all of those stories, haven't we? But from the side, companion. That's a beautiful thought, really. So, what did he say? Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. She's called the body of Adam. Get that in your thinking. Number three, in Genesis chapter 2, according to the law of marriage, it says, the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, I'm realizing this more and more after 60-some-odd years of marriage. That's so true. That is so very true. The man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh is just another way of saying one body. It's so fantastic after 61 years of marriage. Lots of times, Joyce and I don't even have to talk. We just think. We can just sit around thinking, and we're thinking about the same things. How about that? Now, you folks, some of you are saying we haven't gotten that far in our marriage yet. Okay, so much for that. In Genesis chapter 2, according to the law of marriage, it says, the man shall leave his father and mother, cleave. By the way, I need to stop with you on that word cleave. It's a beautiful word in the Hebrew language, which emphasizes an intimacy. Cleave together. And how fantastic that is. One flesh, just another way of saying one body. Number four, the church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals that the New Testament body is the result of a marriage. Now you stay with me and let's analyze this. The church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals then that the New Testament body is the result of a marriage. What is it that made you a part of God's family? It was a dry baptism of the Holy Spirit that regenerated you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of regeneration. We become the recipient of imputed righteousness, and so we become a member of the family of God. Now, we've said this many times, the church is now in the process of being formulated. Every time a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, it's another part of that body that will be completed at the time of the rapture. Are you with me? In other words, go out and win souls, because who knows, the next soul you win to Jesus Christ may be the last one, and the rapture will occur. See, as you're witnessing for Jesus Christ, you can say, my, as you lead a person to accept Jesus Christ, you could think, woo, this could be the last one in the family. And Jesus Christ could be coming to receive his own unto himself. Are you with me? Look at this. The church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals that the New Testament body is the result of marriage. The groom and the bride, the church is referred to as the bride. The groom and the bride have yet not been united. right? That takes place at the time of the rapture. So we discover then that in essence, you and I, having been born into God's kingdom, are virgin born. Do what you want to with that. You can carry that as far as you want to. And I realize that some of you didn't even get that. I'm telling you that the Lord brought you into His family, and the groom and the bride have yet not been united. So we could say that we are virgin conceived and virgin born, born again. Let's go on. The church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals that the New Testament body is the result of marriage. New Testament believers have a relationship with the second Adam. What is so interesting, when you go through the pages of the Word of God, you will find emphasized over and over again the natural on the one hand and the spiritual on the other hand. Do that. Follow yourself in the study of the Word of God, and you'll find the natural and the spiritual, the natural and the supernatural. So we have here, and I go back to let you see this, the church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals the New Testament body is the result of marriage. New Testament believers have a relationship with the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ. The husband-wife relationship is also presented to us in the Apostle Paul's writings in Ephesians chapter 5. It is said to be a mystery concerning Christ and the church. Are you familiar with the word mystery? The concept of the mysterion? The Old Testament prophets saw a lot of things, but there were things that they did not see. You can take and put yourself a little diagram and put the prophets looking out over a period of time, and you will discover that they are emphasizing certain things, and then they skip the mysterion concept. And then they pick up over here, and you see the other side. That to me is so fantastic. So even there were individuals, the Old Testament prophets had a lot of information. They gave us a lot of information, but they did not have the mysterion concept. The second Adam, Jesus Christ. The husband and wife relationship is presented to us in Ephesians 5, and it's said to be a mysterion concerning Christ and the church. The last Adam, who marries a wife, who becomes his body. Now I want to go back, and I want you to see how fantastic this is. Look, if you will, please, again in 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And also, what we have here is looking at the second word in the Greek text, and then we have also. It has been written. I've already emphasized that to be a perfect tense verb, not recapitulate that at this moment. The first Adam, stop on that word. What do we have here? We have the Greek word protos, prostos, which is the word for first. The first man, anthropos, Adam, Adam, A-D-A-M, became or was made. Genomai was made, what? A living soul. Did you pick that up in the diagrams he showed you a few moments ago? How did God create man? A living soul. Are you aware of the fact that unsaved individuals have souls? That's right. Do you realize that an unsaved person who dies without Jesus Christ has a soul that continues to live on and on, for, and on forever and ever and ever in a place of eternal punishment? Do you realize that? What we need to realize is that God presents to our thinking body that brought you in this auditorium today. But the real you, because you're born into God's kingdom, the real to you is not your body, even though we put a lot of emphasis on it, is your soul and your spirit. Having been born into God's kingdom, you have the ability to understand, comprehend, appreciate things in the realm of the spiritual. That's the spirit. You have the ability to comprehend, understand things in the realm of the physical. That's your soul. The unsaved person has a soul, so the unsaved person can comprehend those things in the realm of the physical. But the unsaved person cannot comprehend or appreciate things in the realm of the spiritual. Why? Because they are psychikos, they're soulish individuals, and not pneumatikos, spiritual individuals. I didn't know I was going to have so much fun talking about that. But I'm enjoying it because I want you to see. This is the first Adam was made a living soul. And the middle voice says that the subject is benefited thereby. Please understand how important it is to emphasize the various aspects of a Greek verb. At a point of time, aorist tense, middle voice, subject produces the action of the verb. So we discover that God produced the action and mankind is benefited thereby. You and I are benefited by the fact that we are the recipients of God's grace in salvation and we are now body, soul, and spirit. Let's go on. The last Adam. I have so much fun with words. I want to give you a word, this word to you and let you tell me. No, just don't say it out loud. Here's the word. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-S. Eschatos. I'm sure that most of you know what that word means. Eschatos. Eschatology, for instance. What does eschatology mean? It's a study of last things. The last Adam. And notice there's an article there that is in the nominative case, the last Adam, Adam. Then we have an emphasis upon the fact was made a quickening spirit. And notice, if you will, please, here's the eyes, E-I-S, and there's the word pneuma. And so we have an emphasis upon the fact that a person was made, the second Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let me go back to the last page. Well, the next to the last page. The church is called the body of Christ in the New Testament. So this reveals that the New Testament body is the result of a marriage. How fantastic this is to understand that you and I have accepted Jesus Christ and we've been born into His kingdom, which makes us a member of the body of Christ, which will become the bride. Most of us are familiar with the fact that the church is referred to now as the body of Christ and referred to as the bride. The bride takes place at the time of the rapture. And so immediately when that last person is saved, then the bride, the body is complete, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the groom, comes for His bride. The church is called the body of Christ. So this reveals that the New Testament body is the result of a marriage. New Testament believers have a relationship with the second Adam, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm finding Jesus on every page. I'm finding Him in every book of the Old Testament. And I found Him here in two passages of Scripture. Genesis 1:1, we looked at it, and I'm finding it here in Genesis chapter 2, 22 and following. If you'll notice, the husband-wife relationship is presented to us in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I'm aware of the fact that when I refer to that passage, it is a passage of Scripture that everyone in this auditorium, you've heard it many, many times. There is a presentation of the relationship of a husband and wife, which is in reality a picture of the bride, the groom, and the bride in the salvation message. Ephesians 5, then, is said to be a mystery, mysterion, concerning Christ and the church. And I put in capital letters, and this is what I want you to see in closing. Jesus Christ is the spiritual Adam who marries a wife who becomes His body. Does that make sense? You see how wonderful this is? Jesus Christ, the second Adam, is the spiritual Adam who marries a wife who becomes His body. We are living in a magnificent time in this church age. There are individuals being witnessed to and they're becoming believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happening, for instance, in Asia, in the witnessing of Don and Joy and their team and Tracy and all of them. People are being presented the Word of God and individuals are becoming saved as a result of the presentation of the gospel. We do not know, but one of these days, the last person who is in that family is going to be saved, and the rapture is going to take place. The question I have for you this morning is, Are you right with God? Are we really witnessing for Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis? We have that responsibility every single day. I'm enjoying this. Stay with me. Don't miss Wednesday night, because I promise you we're going to find new things every day we study. In between now and Wednesday night, I may even find some new things for Wednesday night. So stay with me, will you please? May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time together, for the opportunity to focus our minds upon these beautiful truths. We pray that those who hear this message today by way of the internet, some may yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They could do this right now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We thank you for those verses which so vividly describe for us and explain to us that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.